Blog Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I am your host, Lisa Watson. And, you know, it's really good to be back after the hiatus that I put myself on. I went to RomeCom 2015 in Denver. I had author book signings in the Midwest. Then I came back. 2 days later, went on a cruise. Came back from that. 3 days later, I went to New York to a symposium. So to say I'm a little traveled out would definitely be an understatement, well, at least for the moment. But my guest tonight knows all about traveling to inspiring places and using those destinations to give her fuel for the fire in her new novel, Her Chance at Love. An edgy, hopeless romantic, my guest enjoys creating stories of love and new possibilities. And it's the possibilities that keep us intrigued in life, isn't it? So my guest tonight has a penchant for adventure, and she's currently working on penning her next romantic escapade. But don't worry, we'll have her give us a little sneak peek later if she can. So it is my pleasure to welcome this evening Nikki Knight to the show. Welcome, Nikki.
Thank you for having me. Hello, Lisa. How are you?
I am doing well. So, you know, Nikki, you're new, so to speak, on the literary scene, and your debut novel for the Harlequin Kimani line is releasing this week. So congratulations on that, and the digital version is available November 1st. So, you know, tell us what life has been like for you since that debut and how you got started.
Oh, life has been exciting. It's extremely exciting. This is the first, the debut romance novel, and it's been a bit of a whirlwind. I have events that are happening, and, you know, the book has been released. I have a download party that's going on on my page on Facebook on November 1st, and I know I'm going to have a ball with that. Traveling, I have some events coming up. I'll be in Baltimore. I have something scheduled in Baltimore on the 7th. I have something scheduled in New York. I'm doing some library events. So, and I'll be all over the place, every romance conference, you know, known to man, pretty much, throughout all of 2016. So I'm just ready for the ride. I'm geared up of it. I'm so excited about what's coming.
Well, that is fantastic. And, you know, is there anything better, really, than seeing your blood, sweat, tears, your story that you're so wrapped up in and so invested in? Is there anything better on the planet than to, for the first time, to see your name on that book cover and to, you know, get, you know, some positive feedback from readers on the story that you kind of just created from whole cloth?
Heck no, there's nothing better than that. Just the whole process of having something in your head and then moving through the different motions and then one day having what was in your head in your hands as a physical thing. That whole transition is, you know, when you're holding it in your hand, it's like, wow, like this was just, it was intangible. It was in my head. Nobody could see it. Nobody knew anything about it. And
voila.
Now, exactly. It's so exciting.
Now, have you, and I know I've done this, you know, myself before, you know, it's so different when you're writing your story because, you know, you're looking at it from a different set of eyes.
Yes.
Than you would be if you were reading it. And so have you ever, like, read either your book in its entirety or just, you know, a little bit of it and kind of forgot that you wrote it and you kind of just get wrapped up in that story and then you're like, hey, this is good.
Yes, I did. I think that is so funny because I was literally reading like a reader as if I didn't, and you know, waiting and anticipating, like I didn't know it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. I wrote it.
I know, because one time I was reading my book, and I mean, seriously, I have, you know, I haven't read one of my books in its entirety. I've only done that one time. And so the one time that I did do it, you know, my son walks by, and he kind of stops and looks at me, and is like, Mom, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm reading. He's like, you wrote it. And I'm like, I know, but it's, you know, I haven't had a chance to actually read it. You know, just for enjoyment, it's different. So
it is different. It's, and you know, I tend to do it. I try to do it with all of my books. And the reason is because by the time, you know, the process takes so long. You know, you write it,
mm-hmm.
you send it in, you submit it, and it gets, goes through the process of editing and everything else. And while you're doing that, you're already kind of on to the next project. So, you know, I just, for example, Her Chance at Love is just hitting now. The print version came
mm-hmm.
out October 20th. The digital version will be out on Sunday, November 1st. But I just submitted the book two. So
mm-hmm.
my head is in on different characters. And I'm working on
right.
something else. And that's done. I'm on to the next thing. So I'm just totally in different places and different characters. So now that this book is out and people are reading it and you're being asked to go places and talk about it, it's like you have
to refresh.
Oh,
I know, right?
Your memory,
you
like, okay,
like,
what did
I do?
What was going on? What did they do? Who fell in love with who? So I go back. Usually, like, when the book is just being released, I'll go back
mm-hmm.
and reread it just so I can be fresh for, like, book club
right.
discussions and things like that. I'm an avid reader. So I've got my characters in my head. I got characters from some of my favorite authors in my head. If I don't read that book when it's time to, like, start, you know, getting out there in front of readers with that information fresh in my head, I don't know what they're talking about.
Right. And you're like, hey, give me a second. As you're reading, like, the back of the book blurb, you're like, oh, yeah. Now, your novel, Her Chance at Love, it's, you know, it's one of the Kamani hotties. So, you know, tell us a little bit more about it and what drew you to writing edgy romances. And then tell us what,
so,
you know, what edgy is for you.
Okay. All right, cool. So
you
do,
I can do
romance is several things. I've, you know, been writing other things. And I love romance. I love romance. I personally have been married for 20 years. My husband is like one of my best buddies and we have an amazing time together. I mean, we're friends. We can have a ball together, you know, if it's just the two of us or if it's
mm-hmm.
a bunch of our friends. And I'm a champion for romance and true love. I love seeing couples. I love seeing, like, two old people walking down the street holding hands,
mm-hmm.
you know, who look like they've been together for 75 years.
Yeah.
You know, I believe in love. I believe that love conquers all and can stand the test of time if you're just willing to, you know, deal with the ebb and flow of it or, you know, jump a couple of hurdles or whatever to make it to the
right,
end.
Right, put
so,
in the work. It's hard
put
work.
Put in the work. Nothing is easy. So, I mean, even
mm-mm.
walking away from love is not easy. You know, people
mm-hmm.
walk away from situations so quickly thinking it's the easier way out, but that's not
right.
easy either. Whether you stay or whether you go, you've got your hurdles to jump over. You've got your emotions to wade through and things like that. So I'm an advocate for love, and I love to be able to display love and show love. And, you know, I love my scandal. Don't get me wrong. I love my scandal, my juicy drama. But, you know, I'm a champion for love. So being able to put together a book that's kind of just all about that is great. Now, the edgy part is, so Nikki Knight is not really your kind of average chick, I don't think. Nikki is just the person that, you know, like, I would rather be driving a Ducati across the, instead of a, you know, sedan. I would just, I want to, like, fly on trapezes and jump out of airplanes.
Right. You just want to do the stuff that you just, you know, that you know is down deep in you, like, okay, yeah, we got to do this. You just haven't gotten around to it yet. That's all.
Right.
So,
exactly.
You know, with Nikki,
and
it's like, okay, we can do that right now.
Right. Exactly. You know, it's like no opportunity is, like, you know, too far-fetched. It's like, let's try that out. You know, I just... That's the edgy part. And then and I love in the type of men, like, for example, Blake, he is so arrogant and confident and full of himself in like the most gorgeous way possible. It's just so attractive.
See, I'm already visualizing right now. I'm like,
You know, it's like if I could peel him out of the pages myself.
So, I mean,
you know, all it's the first of a series of three brothers, the Barrington brothers, and all three of them are not as bad. Like, Hunter's the older brother. He's the second one, and he's a little more debonair. He's a little more dapper. He's a little more reserved, but he still has that gorgeous kind of confidence. Blake is just kind of out there. He's the envelope pusher. He's gonna tap buttons and push it and see where he gets it. If it gets him a slap in the face, he's gonna take the slap in the face, and he'll apologize because he's a gentleman. But if it doesn't get him a slap in the face and it gets him a little further along in his desires, then he's gonna, you know, then it's all good. So, you know, I mean, who takes a woman out on their first date to a place called Sex on the Palace?
Wait, sex on the what?
Sex on the Palace.
Sex on the palate?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an aphrodisiac cooking school experience. Right. So couples go in and they cook together, and all of the ingredients that they're using in the meal that they're preparing are aphrodisiac type of ingredients. So everything from
Do you hear that sound, Nikki? That's my mind blowing. Okay, because I love that idea. I'm like sitting here right now going, wish I had sex on the palace.
Now think about it. If a man says, let's go out to dinner, and you walk into the restaurant, and the restaurant on the front of the place says, sex on the palate, you may think twice about going inside if it's your first date. You might.
You'd be looking, I'm like, I don't know you like that.
Right. But Blake doesn't care. Like, know him is to love him. And this is what he's got to offer. And he's gorgeous. So, I mean, what?
You're like, hey, what more can you ask for? The man's arrogant, suave, debonair, a gentleman, gorgeous, has a sense of humor, and adventurous. I mean, come on, ladies. It's like a whole kit and caboodle practice. Just wrapped what? Up with a bow on top, right?
Okay. What better package?
Seriously. Now, before we get wrapped up hearing more from romance author Nikki Knight, I'd like to let listeners know our live chat session is open. You're welcome to comment or ask questions there. You can call us at area code 646-200-4071. And, of course, after the live show, I will be posting the podcast and recap blog for those of you that may have missed it at readersentertainment.com. Now, if you want to learn more about Nikki as we're chatting with her, you can definitely check out her website at www.nikkiknight.com. And that's Nikki, N-I-C-K-I, Knight, N-I-G-H-T.com. So, Nikki, I'm always interested in the dynamics between the characters. And in your novel, clearly, desire is sizzling like there's no tomorrow between Cadence Payne and Blake Barrington. So how did you get two so strong-willed characters together to let their guard down long enough to even be vulnerable enough to fall in love?
You know what's funny? It's that when you're working with these characters and they take a life of their own, it really becomes an interesting ride. And it's almost like you, the writer, are the spectator, and you're watching all of this stuff go down. Because, yes, Cadence was very strong-willed. She didn't, you know, she was dumb with lawyers, so she didn't care about the fact that he was a lawyer. She wasn't impressed. She was the daughter of a senator. Who cares? She had people coming around her all the time. She's the daughter of a senator. So she'd rather be by herself, you know. And then, you know, you've got Mr. Blake Barrington, like one of the most eligible bachelors on the legal scene in a city like New York, and that the three brothers have women like falling at their feet. But I think that love is a common denominator. And as strong-willed as you may be, and as, you know, arrogant or confident, that you might be.
Love will knock you down a peg or two, right?
It'll knock you down a peg. And you can't, we as much as we'd like to or try to, we really can't totally control our emotions and our feelings. We can't always control who we fall in love with or fall for. So once you start falling, that does become the common denominator. That will break through all the boundaries that you build around your heart and your mind and, you know, that facade that you wear about being the tough guy or the tough girl. And everybody under the sound of my voice has been there.
Yep, indeed.
Included.
Been there, done that.
It's that emotional connection. And when you, it's like an emotional seed that's planted. And when you nurture it and water it, it whether you want it to or not, it's going to, and once it gets to a certain point, you cannot ignore it. So that was really the common denominator that kind of made both of them have to stop and look and say, okay, I can't ignore this anymore.
Right.
So what are we going to do about it? You know, you're still going with your doubts, but when you can't ignore it, it's like, all right, so either we're going to ride this thing out or jump off. I don't know, but I'm going to start the ride. If I got to jump off in the middle of the ride, I'll jump off. But I'm going to see where this goes.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that I have the impression that after you finished writing, you know, Her Chance at Love and dealing with all those wonderful Barringtons and Cadens and stuff, I am thinking you were probably pretty pooped, just exhausted. So, you know, tell us what you like to do when you need a break from writing.
So, a lot of things. I am not the type of I'm so unlike Candace, you know, sitting at home. I love being at home and chilling out and enjoying time with, like, you know, a man and family, all of that great stuff. But I'm an adventurer. I like to get out and do stuff and go places and try things. Anything from new foods to adventures that, I mean, I'm blowing through my bucket list right now. It's ridiculous. It's as if somebody gave me a date and said, you know, if you don't do it by this day, you know, you're done. And it's just anything that comes up that looks like it's crazy fun or adventurous or whatever, I'm going for it. That's my release. You know, I took a number of weeks ago, there's this crazy guy that has this outrageous spin class. And he goes all over the country from here and abroad. Like, he's done these classes in London and all over the place. And he was going to be in New York. And I went and took this crazy spin class. I mean, I was you literally walk out of his class, and you can take off your workout gear and twist it and wring it out with all the sweat that you conjure up. But
seen spin class from afar, that is.
Oh my goodness.
I've seen spin classes. I was walking by to go to the elliptical machine. I'm like, wow, that really looks tough.
Yeah, it looks tough. But it's like if you take this particular class with this guy when he comes into town, it's exponentially crazy. Literally. I mean, he's got you up and down. You're standing up. You're dancing. You're moving from side to side. At one point, it's like you're moving like a stripper. At another point, it's like you're running up a hill. It's crazy. And he's running around, and he's in your face. He's come up to your bike, and he's in your face. And he's like, go, 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 go. And it's like the faster he says it, the faster you move. It's insane. But I love that type of stuff. So that's what I do. I indulge myself completely.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that, because when you think about it, it's like, you know, who's going to indulge you better than you, really?
No.
And so I think that, you know, you definitely, people out there, if you're listening to me, you definitely should treat yourself, pamper yourself, do fun things, get off the couch. And I know I'm really throwing it out there, and I got nerve, but because I'm sitting on the couch right now, but get off that couch, go do something fun for yourself. Do something you normally wouldn't do. Get out of that comfort zone. Be like Nikki.
Yes.
Just, you know, just do Nikki. That's our new catchphrase. We're just going to say do Nikki.
Oh,
what would Nikki
I
do?
I love it. Can I adopt that? Nikki.
Yes,
I'm
you
doing
can.
Nikki today. Yes.
I love it. Now, you know, for those of you just tuning in, I am chatting with romance author Nikki Knight about her debut novel, Her Chance at Love. So, you know, Nikki, your website is all about love and possibilities. In fact, you have some tips on making romance sparkle just a little bit more. So can you share some of those tips with us?
So I'm about to put up a new post, and I have a section called Vignettes, and I haven't put anything up yet, but they're going to start going out now that the book is out. But I have a lot of fun little things, you know, that you can do. So one of the things that, and my man loved this one, loved it, because you can turn the simplest thing into just something cute and romantic and fun and all of that. So we had a picnic on the floor with towels, wine glasses filled with beer, and Chinese food on China. Yes. Beer and Chinese food, but it was served on the floor to candlelight with wine glasses and China, fine China. Mm. I mean, just sometimes it's really something really, really simple. Now, as much as I like being crazy and adventurous, I'm also a person that really appreciates, like, the really simple things in life, like walking down the street holding hands. I think that's so important, walking down the street holding hands, kisses and pecks. I think it's so important. I think compliments, you know, are so important. It does amazing things for the ego and for the relationship. And that's something I actually, an old school chick had to tell me, and, like, you know, compliment your man. So I would tell him, you know, how good he looks. And I would say things like, oh, I like that shirt. I like the way it fits you, you know. Things like that. And it, the funny thing is, I mean, you actually see a light go off. You see, like, brightness shine in their eyes where they feel appreciated. And then they reciprocate without even, like, being, without it being personal. But the appreciation kind of, you know, it starts, it sparks something. So those little simple things, the cute little text messages, you know, I have a couple of text messages that I've sent my man that will make you blush. You know, I remember one time I was getting my hair done, and my hairdresser read one of my text messages by mistake over my shoulder and was like, oh.
You're like, ooh, girl.
Like, put that away. Like, you shouldn't have been reading over my shoulder.
Right, see, that's what you get.
You run
the risk if you start reading over my shoulder.
You got a glimpse.
And see, and, okay, ladies out there, so for those of you that may not have that romantic man at home, the one that may be, you know, way into, you know, designing something in his computer more so than, you know, sending you little messages and stuff, persevere. Don't give up. Trust me, I have one of those at home. You got to keep pecking at him, just chipping away.
Well, you can't find a man more macho than mine, because it's like, you know, he couldn't string together a line of poetry if you gave him the words in order. So it's, you know, that, but, you know, they all, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, can be putty in your hand if you do two things. If you stroke that ego, and that's number one, and number two, use your feminine powers. Yes, I said it. Use your, we have feminine superpowers that we fail to use. And I had to learn to use it myself. I have this friend, and I saw her turn on her feminine superpowers, and I was amazed at the results. We were driving to a restaurant, and we were kind of lost. Not really lost, but, you know, trying to figure out where we had to go. And we pulled up on a corner, and we were like, you know, ask these guys and see if, you know, whatever, if we can find out. So she rolls down her window, and as she rolls down her window, I see her just completely transformed before my eyes. She straightens her back, you know, so she lifts her bosom. She's far from a slut, so, but very classy. She straightens her back, and she lifts up her head just a little bit, and she curls her finger, and she goes, excuse me. I was like, who the hell is this? A second ago in the car, this woman did not exist. So the guy literally floats over to the car, like as if her finger curling, like, summoned him, and he just floated to the car. He had the biggest smile on his face ever, and he was like, hi, like, how can I help you? And it was just, like, it was just oozing out of him. And she was, you know, and she used her little girl, her feminine magical power voice, and she was like, "We're looking for so-and-so. Could you help? Could you tell me how to get there?" And through the biggest smile ever, you saw every tooth in his mouth. And he was like, "Oh, sure, no problem. Well, all you got to do is do this and do that, and you go here." And she says, "Thank you." And he's like, "Oh, anytime, my pleasure." And he floats back to where he's going. And then she turns to me, and she was like, "All right, so we have to make, like, a left at the corner." And I'm looking at her like, "What?"
You're like, "What just happened?"
who was that? Where did that come from? And then we had this conversation. And after that, I read this book. I forget the author's name, but it says it's Don't Blame It on Rio. And it talks about, you know, these men and why they go to places like Rio and try to, you know, find women there and bring them back and marry them or whatever. And then I had this conversation. I'm like, you know, these are intelligent men. So I come home to my hobby and I'm like, "Hey, I got a question to ask. I need to understand something about men. Are your egos that like, you know, malleable, that pliable, that, you know, if it's stroked the right way, like, you know, women can pretty much get anything?" And he's like, "Yeah."
Yeah, because, really, you know, as my husband always says, men are visual. Men are visual.
Oh, my God. I'm like, you know, these are college educated, very intelligent. See everything from CEOs to, you know, street pharmacists. And it's like, putty. So I'm like, "Well," he was like, "Yeah, well, you can't use that on me because I know." And I was like, "Yeah, okay." So I started studying.
Yeah, you may know now, but trust me, he's not going to know each and every waking moment.
And he still doesn't know. He can't listen to this because he still doesn't know. So I was like, "You know what? I'm going to start putting this crap into practice," because I was this, you know, hardcore feminine chick. I'm with a man because I want to be with a man, not because I need a man. That was me prior to this. Well, I said, "You know what? I'm going to put this crap into practice and see just how effective it is." I pulled up to the gas station. I rolled down my window, and I was like, "Excuse me, can you tell me where the air pump is?" And the guy was like, "Come on over." And he pumped air in all four of my tires. That has never happened to me before in my life.
Love
that.
It. He's like, "Yeah, let me do that for you.
Excuse me, can you tell me where the air pump is?" And they're like, "Yeah, right over there." And I go over there, and I get out my car, and I pump all my own air. All I did
right,
was
I guess it's all about how you ask. It's all about the delivery.
And, honey, I've been using it ever since. Oh, yeah. I know when to turn on my feminine superpower.
Let me tell you what. I am waiting for Amazon right now to pull up so I can blame it on – don't blame it on Rio.
Don't blame it on Rio. Oh, well, that's a very profound book. Yes, check it out. But between that, it was just a series of things that happened, and I'm like, you know what? All these years, I've had these superpowers, and I never put them to use. Like, what the hell is wrong with me? But life has significantly changed now that I have them.
Superpowers, ladies.
I've
definitely
activated my feminine superpowers.
So
it works even with my husband.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm going to have to take – we're going to talk offline because, yeah, I'm going to take a couple little notes there. So, Nikki,
yes.
Since you're a bevy of information tonight, can you give readers a little sneak peek into your next novel? What's next for you?
Okay. So, after Blake and Cadence's story comes Hunter and Shay Rogers. So, Hunter's the older brother. He's a little more reserved than the other two. The other two kind of – the last one is a hot mess. Drew – he's a motorcycle racer for a living, okay? That tells you a lot.
So he's all about speed and adrenaline.
Wow. So Hunter's story is actually next, and Hunter goes away on a trip that he takes annually with his frat brother. They go to different locations, and this year they decide to go skiing and snowboarding in Powder Mountain. The problem is it's a very bad winter, and he gets stuck. His friends are going to warmer climates. They live in different areas, L.A. and Atlanta and Florida and things like that. And because he's coming to the East Coast and there's a huge storm between them, his flights get canceled. And he ends up having to stay there for a while. Now, he gets booted out of his villa because, you know, new people are coming into the villa, but there's a lot of people who are stranded at this particular resort because the roads on the mountain end up getting too bad and they close out the roads. The airport shut down, close out the roads. So he's assuming that whoever is coming up the mountain or whoever is renting the villa for the following week probably isn't going to be able to get there because of all the issues with the traffic, all the issues, you know, the roads are closed. Little did he know, Shay Rogers makes it in. So she's looking for her villa to be empty, and it's not. And Shay, on the other hand, is just coming up from Virginia. She's just, you know, put her ex in his rightful place in her life, which is the past. And she's kind of like a runaway fiance. She ends the relationship and she runs off. Now, she's at this point, she just wants to live life on her own terms. She doesn't want to try to be controlled by anybody. She's kind of like, she doesn't even want anybody who comes from a wealthy background because her ex came from a wealthy background, and he was kind of manipulative and controlling. And she's like, you know what, I'm going to be a woman on my own terms.
Mm-hmm.
And she runs into this gentleman. So she's starting her new life. She's going back to school to finish school so she can pursue that career that she's always wanted to pursue. And the last person that she expects to see in class is the man that she ran into at the resort. And he's her teacher, and she's the student.
Woo!
Yeah.
Sizzle.
Yeah, a little bit of drama there.
Okay, so we are definitely going to have to be on the lookout for that one.
Yeah, that one is entitled His Love Lesson.
His Love Lesson. Okay, so everybody make note. Nikki Knight has her chance at Love Out right now, available on paperback, coming digitally on November 1st. Definitely look for His Love Lesson next. That's going to be coming out when, Nikki?
That will be out in the spring. I think it is March.
Okay.
Yes.
So let listeners know how they can get in touch with you, and if they want to go to your Facebook release party, let them know how they can get in touch with you there as well.
Oh, please join us. We're going to have fun. There's going to be giveaways, all kinds of crazy cool stuff, and maybe I'll release some of my cute little, you know, romance shit. They're quite interesting.
Do Nikki, people. Do
quite
Nikki.
Interesting. Exactly. So, Instagram. Nikki Knight on Facebook. It's Author Nikki Knight. That's my page, Author Nikki Knight. And Nikki is spelled NickiNight. Like I said, Instagram as well as Twitter, as well as my website, www.nickiknight.com, NickiNight. The download party is, and that's for all of the folks who love downloads or digital versions of the books, is going to take place on my page on Facebook, Author Nikki Knight page, at 8 p.m. on Sunday, November 1st. And it will be a one-hour party with fun, with giveaways. And one thing you have to do, one of the giveaways, is you have to bring your funniest meme. We're going to have a hilarious meme contest. So come with your funniest meme, a meme that made you literally, like, laugh out loud, be ready to roll on the floor, fall out laughing, whatever, pass out in your chair, die, six deaths, and come back a seventh time, all of that. And the winner of the hilarious meme contest will win a nice little bag and package and with a couple of books inside.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, Nikki, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We ran out of time. I could have used a whole hour of conversing with you. So you'll have to definitely come back on the show. We got to get you back to when that next book is out.
Yes.
And for listeners out there, don't forget you can check out Nikki's recap blog on readersentertainment.com later this evening. And, wow, yes, thanks so much for joining us tonight, Nikki. It has been
a pleasure having you, really.
And I hope, listeners out there, that you were taking notes because It's going to be a quiz later.
Yes.
Well, tune in next Thursday. My guest will be New York Times and USA Today bestselling author Lisa Renee Jones. I am Lisa Watson, your host, saying thank you for joining me tonight. Thank you, Nikki, for joining us as well.
Thank you.
And I hope everyone out there is having a wonderful night. Be happy, be inspired, and happy reading. So good night to all, and good night, Nikki.
Good night. Ciao.
You know I'm going to have to call you later, though, right?
Yes.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Good night.